Sean Devon. He's a national basketball writer for the Sporting News, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Sean, thanks so much for doing this. Before we delve into the mess in Cleveland and talk about the NBA draft and your story about Lonzo Ball today, I just want to ask you about the situation with Kyle Lowry. Look, obviously, we have a bit of an emotional interest in Kyle Lowry here. We have a bit of a vested interest in him, but as kind of a neutral, what do you see when you think of Kyle Lowry, and how could you see this market potentially playing out for him?
Well, there's no doubt that he's established himself as one of the best point guards in the East. I think if you start looking overall in the entire league, you know, he's probably down around 10 or so. And you know, when you're talking about paying a 5 or 4 year contract at the numbers that we'd be looking at for Kyle Lowry, you know, I think teams get a little scared of that. There's no question what his production is right now, but I think injury history and age, I think all that is sort of a factor that is looming there. And you know, in terms of free agency, I think that's going to be a bigger factor in how teams view him than just what his production has been.
See, and I think you bring up a good point, because I think a lot of people look at NBA and look at NBA free agency and say, well, there's just so much money out there, and we know that the league is flush with cash, and it's going to get more flush with cash. But you know, there are still some basic principles when it comes to dealing with the free agent, aren't there? And those principles are health and age. It doesn't matter how much money's in the system. Health and age is always going to be a concern for a team looking at a free agent.
Yeah, and I'd also add, though, that you know, we're going to have, so we had the big spike in the cap last year. And we'll have a little bit of a spike, you know, certainly a jump in the cap this year. But that's going to level off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the league has been flush with cash for the last 2 years, but that's not going to continue. You know, it's going to level off now that the TV deal has sort of normalized, I guess you could say, we're going to have a lot more stability in terms of what the cap is going to be, where it's going to go up, but just by little amounts. So now, as you're locking in players, you're locking them in to at big numbers into a system where the cap is going to be much more normal. So it's a little different now. You know, where you saw so many teams give out crazy contracts last year, I think you're going to see less of that this year, and certainly much less of it going forward. So I think that's a factor as well, that you do have health and age, but you also have the fact that it's like if you get a raise 2 years in a row, you start spending all sorts of money, and then you look and you don't get a raise that third year, you might have made some commitments in those 2 years that you're now regretting. So I think a lot of teams are thinking along those lines.
Sean, what the hell's going on in Cleveland?
You know, it's a great question, because you spend all day yesterday chasing these stories about them going for Paul George and them going for Jimmy Butler and all these possibilities that they're working out, and then all of a sudden the general manager and his number two are gone. So you're left with really a low level front office employee who all of a sudden is running things, and they don't have a GM there, and they don't have decision makers. The draft's in 2 days, and free agency is 10 days away. So it's really bizarre. It's something where Dan Gilbert has further taken a hit after sort of repairing his image after the weirdness the first time LeBron left in 2010. This is just something that is a self-inflicted wound. You know, I can understand possibly having differences of opinion with David Griffin, but you can't deny that the guy has done a heck of a job building that team and building that roster. And to let him go, I think, is a real, real mistake on the part of the Cavaliers.
Should Cavs fans be concerned by LeBron James's tweet after that announcement? Because you certainly got the sense that LeBron had his back, and it certainly didn't seem as if LeBron was exactly thrilled that David Griffin was leaving.
Yeah, he was not thrilled with that departure and not thrilled with sort of the upheaval. And, you know, that's something we'd sort of been hearing throughout the day. And then LeBron surely has been following that and almost seemed to want to come out and confirm that the things that folks were hearing was right. And so I think you should really be concerned that next season could be LeBron's last in Cleveland. You know, there's no doubt that, look, as he mentioned in that tweet, he got them a championship. And so I think he's felt all along that he's done all he needed to do in Cleveland. That's what he went back there for. So I'm not sure that he's really looking at this as I need to remain committed long-term to Cleveland because I did what I went there to do.
The 2017 NBA draft will be at 7 p.m. Thursday on Sportsnet 1. Sean, your article on the draft caught my attention today. Look, I mean, we've all kind of followed the Lonzo Ball saga and he and his father for a long time. I'm sure you're tired of it. But is there a chance this kid slips past the Lakers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, the Lakers haven't made a commitment to him. And look, ultimately, I think they do wind up drafting him. But, you know, you at this point, there's no reason the Lakers can't do as the Sixers have done with Markelle Fultz and basically said, we're going to take you. They haven't done that. And, mm-hmm. and you know, that's certainly keeping their options open. That's certainly, keeping their options open as far as possible trades, heading into Thursday. So, you know, the Lakers are not 100% committed to this guy. I still think they take him, but there's still a pretty strong chance that they're going to see if there are other options and what those options might be, and if there's another guy out there that would possibly fit them better. And to be at this point and to know that Ball is going to be on the board but not commit to him indicates that the Lakers have some internal dissension about what they ought to do with that pick.
Now, your report is his workout was not that great for them, correct? Would that be enough to change? Because I've often wondered about this. You know, teams do a lot of scouting. Most general managers have seen these kids by the time they draft them. How important is the workout? Like, what would a GM look for during that workout?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. You've seen this kid play, probably going back to high school. You've seen him in AAU, and then you watch him throughout, 35 college games, a two-hour workout is going mm-hmm. to torpedo all of that. But at the same time, I think what bothers teams when a player comes in unprepared is, what does that say? You know, I mean, what is that? How seriously is this kid taking his professional future here? Mm-hmm. If you come in and you're not in shape, I think what they really like. I talked to a GM who said that the part that I watch, I sort of zone out in the first hour, and then the part that I watch is the second hour because I want to see, you know, after this kid has been worn out. That they do a lot of drills that are just going to tire you out over the first hour, and then watch you in the second part of that workout. How do you handle that? How do you handle yourself when you're fatigued? How do you push through? Those sorts of things. So, I think that is really what you're looking for with something like Lonzo Ball. If he doesn't impress you at the end of the workout, then you start to say, okay, well, how seriously is this guy taking this? Is he sort of following his dad's lead and thinking more about his brand than actually playing the game?
Now, we know that the Boston Celtics have, what, 8 picks in the next 3 drafts or something like that, or 8 picks
something
in the
like
net,
that.
Something,
yeah.
Something along that. I mean, basically, they might as well just hold the draft at Danny Ainge's house and make life easier for everybody. But aside from the Celtics and maybe the Lakers, is there a team that particularly intrigues you going into this draft in terms of what either A, the player they may pick, or B, what they might actually do with their pick in terms of a trade?
Well, you know, I think Sacramento, you'd really like to see them start to turn a corner. That franchise has been in such limbo, and they've got this great new building and they've got nothing to speak of really on the roster. But they've got number 5 and number 10, and I think they have the opportunity to draft, a high level point guard, maybe Lonzo Ball if he does slip, or certainly De'Aaron Fox. And then they've got number 10 as well. So, you know, I think Sacramento's an interesting team. I think Portland also, you know, they've got three picks. Their first is 15, and then they've got two in the 20s. They don't have room for all those guys, and they're capped out. They're looking at a luxury tax bill. So they're looking to work a package here. So I think that Portland, I certainly heard rumors as much as two weeks ago that they were looking to package their picks and try to either move up or dump some picks if they can get rid of an Evan Turner or another bad salary. So I think Portland's going to be interesting to watch as well, because they've got a number of options with the three picks that they have.